For August the 10th, 2018, we talk about the Mega Man X Legacy Collections, Valve's new artifact details, and we ask you about your favorite tutorials. Welcome to Level 252. My name is Cole Ross.
My name's David Mysmith.
I'm Jala Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, Jala.
Thank you. I've been doing some stuff. It's been a minute.
Yes, it has. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. Yeah. Among other things, I celebrated my Got Born Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did that swimmingly well.
You leveled up in age.
Yeah. Well, I also got born really well. I'm talented at that. Mm. Yes. But anyway. So I've been doing a lot of stuff, guys.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. I did Camp Gladiator Games. I participated in at least some of the events, and then I was Water Girl, so I was dragging a water cooler because, you know, this is like 108 degree heat. And so I'm out there hauling around a football field, a giant thing full of water, and handing out water bottles to everybody, like literally just filling it back up, going back out because it was so hot. Everybody needed the water so badly. And then I went to Veg Fest, which is a vegan festival here in town. And that was cool. And I went to go see the sequel to Phantom of the Opera by Andrew Lloyd Webber, Love Never Dies. And I saw that. That was a birthday gift from my friend Renee. And so we went to go see that. And that was actually the Sunday before my birthday. And my actual birthday and birthday weekend was all completely terrible. Everything was horrible. It was just like a bad, like the AC broke, okay? Like among various other things, the AC broke in our house. So
in Houston in late July.
Yeah. And it was terrible. So like that was just one of the various things that went wrong. I mean, like I was not like in a bad mood, but I was just like, of course.
Yeah. Well, how else would it go?
I've also been working on a painting commission, which I'll be finishing up probably like by the time this episode drops, I will be finishing it up or will have finished it, one or the other, after having done a tattoo design commission. And I recently, like I think yesterday, reposted the Dark Souls bonfire painting I was commissioned to do by Allison. And all these folks are like, oh, when are you taking commissions? And are you going to sell prints of that? And it's like, normally I would sell prints of anything that I have, except for the fact that the resolution on the photo I have of that particular piece is pretty low.
Right.
And you can't see the crackle glaze that's on it. There's a texture on it that's all crackly looking to make it look, you know, all broken up and janky. And, you know, it goes with the theme, you know?
Yeah.
So, and like, you can't see that in the photo either. And so it's like, I don't feel comfortable making prints of something like that, you know, with a photo that's only just so. I mean, even if I limited the size of the print, it would not turn out to the quality that I would prefer.
Right. There's a dimensionality to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, like you can always commission me to paint something fresh. And if you want a bonfire, I can paint you another bonfire. It's not going to look exactly like that bonfire, but it will be a bonfire that will look very similar. So you can totally commission me, guys. But anyway, I also have been working on setting up for doing online training, and I taught a photo shoot workout. The website is up. I'm still working on the back end to get the training app up. I was going through the training app, and guys, I can do so much stuff remotely. I mean, like, people can upload video of their overhead squat assessments and things like that, so I can see what movement compensations that they have. Oh. And so that way I can better analyze like what they need to be doing to fix, you know, whatever muscular compensations that they have on their body. And, you know,
step
like
one, stop overhead squats. They suck. I'm so bad at those.
Well, that just means you need work. So you should hire me, David, after you get, you know, whatever. Anyway, so moving on. Moving on. I did that. I also signed a contract with a company, Camp Gladiator, to be a substitute boot camp instructor and event worker. So I will be teaching a fitness live in person, as well as hopefully very soon doing this stuff online. But, you know, like I kind of juggle so many things that it's like I'm getting there, but I want to make sure that by the time I open it up, I'm not like half cocked. I want to be like ready for people to come to me. So
yeah.
I've been making sure to get all of my stuff squared away, all of the questionnaires and forms and other information that I need wrapped up and all that, so I can get that launched. So Fireheart Fitness, guys. I finished the logo for that, and I know it's patting my own back, but I really like my logo for Fireheart Fitness, to the point that like I would get a tattoo of my own logo for my fitness thing, because it's cool.
I think that just shows commitment.
Well, it's not that it shows commitment. It's like, ooh, it's a pretty thing that I made. No, here, look at it. It's cool.
I liked it back when you showed it to me. I think, did you pick the, I don't know. Was that a, it looks familiar. It looks like some one of the ones you sent me a while back, like talking about it.
I had shown you the black and white version of it.
Okay.
And so I had had it drawn up, and it was black and white when I sent it to you. And then I just finally got off my duff to color it. And when I did, I was like, it's magic in the forest. I love it. So I just dropped it in the Slack for the other guys if you want to know what my cool logo that I want to get as a tattoo looks like.
Nice.
It's neat, dude.
Yeah.
So.
Well, congratulations on all of that you have gotten done.
I've been doing stuff, dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
What about you guys?
Yeah, I went to a concert this past weekend. There's not an awful lot to say about it. My brother, through his work, gets access to tickets for basically for free. Like if you like about a month ago, he got to go see, got to take his daughter and one of her friends to go see Taylor Swift when she played at OSU football stadium a while back. Like just know, just easy access to stuff. He got tickets to a show none of us were really interested in seeing, but it was at the Red Stadium, you know, Great American Ballpark.
Cool.
Like, okay, well, you know, this it's an excuse for them to come down and for us to hang out over the weekend, and who cares if we like the music or not. The performing act was it's a country band called the Zac Brown Band.
Okay.
I had never heard of them, but they're gigantic, I guess. Like they sold a good portion of Red Stadium, so I guess people know who they are, and I recognize one of their songs as a single. I say all this not because it's interesting, but because it leads to a particularly funny scene, which is, you know, we're there, everybody's dancing, drunk, you know, like we wanted to get out of there early, so we were not sharing the road with these inebriated yahoos. And then just about 2/3 of the way through the act, they decide to start doing a medley, and they start playing Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. Like, huh, that's strange. You can't really mistake that for something else. You know, that just, it's a very distinctive song. Like, huh, well, let's see where this goes. And then, they segued seamlessly from Kashmir into The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And we thought there is, this seems like as good of a time as any to go. we waited until this, until that song was done, because where do you like just the you know, one, oh gosh, one story is it's a point of data, two forms a line, three is a trend. I was curious to see where the third one was going to go. Like what follows after the, what follows along the line set by Kashmir into Devil Went Down to Georgia.
So were these like bona fide covers of it, or were they just like, they were playing the themes that sounded very similar?
No, they were doing covers. The sense that I got was that, they like their organist, you know, really liked singing Led Zeppelin style song stuff, you know, that kind of blues singing. And so like, yeah, well, we'll throw him a bone. And they had a fiddle player who, you know, was very good. Everybody was really good. It's not, even if I wasn't that into the music, like they were playing the music well and with a lot of feeling. So it was neat to just kind of be there and experience it, you know? But I think that it was just like, yeah, we have these two talented people. Let's just play a song that plays into their strengths. So that's what what I think they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. But it was fun to hang out with my family. That was nice.
And yeah, that's always a good thing.
That's my story. Ben, how about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was telling you guys before the show, I just got back from Gen Con yesterday, so I've been playing a lot of board games with friends. I got to play a new board game called Gaia Project, which is made by the same people who made Terra Mystica, which is like one of my favorite board games. So I really like that game, and I ordered it and just got it today. So
ooh.
I'm going to try and trick some friends here in Austin to play the game with me. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And David, how about you?
Not too much. I'm maybe got a new job lined up, so I might be moving cities again, but it's just a little too early to say for sure.
Well, we wish you the best of luck.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. Well, that seems like some banter to me anyway.
Yeah.
How do you all feel about doing the regular kind of show, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, well, if I may, I would suggest that we get started with the brief, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Jala, you shared two things, so I'm gonna throw it to you.
Okay, well, first I have to say, I was really like, oh, he's not going to actually ask us. I can tell in the way that he's talking that he's not. He did ask us.
What do you mean?
Nice. Like, when you were like, how do you feel about doing the regular show? And I was about to get upset, but then you actually asked.
Yeah. Is it an issue that I don't ask usually?
No, it's not. But I was like,
you demand.
Well, if you framed it like you were going to ask and then you didn't, I'd have to give you some crap. But you did.
No.
You actually did. So it was very nice. So anyway, moving right along. So guys, you know how all the kiddos these days are playing Fortnite? Like, I had a friend of mine who just had their kid's 8th birthday party and they had a Fortnite cake. So, you know, whatever with that in the Fortnite. Well, anyway, there are apparently parents that are hoping that it's going to set up their kids for scholarships down the road, and they are now getting tutors for Fortnite.
Oh no.
So if anybody wants a side job, guys, these tutors get over $50 an hour to teach little kids how to get better at playing the game.
Not enough.
Yeah, and just like an FYI, this I got two real short ones. So like the Fortnite devs are planning to hold a World Cup for the game in 2019, so you can look out for that next year.
Yeah, so what is this at all like rational? I mean, even along the lines of like, you know, now esports is something you can somewhat conceivably get a scholarship for, but like, is Fortnite like even on that radar?
I don't know, but here's the thing. I guess the thought would be, even if it's not Fortnite in specific, because I mean, like, how old are these kids anyway that are actually getting these tutors? I mean, is Fortnite still going to be around? You know,
that's the thing.
But the thing is, though, is that if they get better at one of these games, they have a certain skill set and understanding that they can apply to other games too. Yeah. So, I mean, like, if they are of like kind, there may be some adjustments, but they can still apply that knowledge and everything to a different game. You know, maybe not like all of their intimate knowledge about how Fortnite works, but you know, so I don't know.
I don't know. I need to do some self-interrogation as to why this makes me feel icky. honestly, it might just come down to, man, it sucks that we have to pay for education, you know, like a lot of this does. But like, there's no reason why a Fortnite scholarship would make me look sideways while a tennis scholarship wouldn't, right?
Oh, okay, so
I mean, okay, sorry.
I mean, just like purely from looking at everything as equals kind of level, like they're both games, it just happens that one of those is a game people have been playing for a very long time, and the school has a program set up, and the school, you know, competes with other schools about it. The infrastructure is already laid.
See, I would say one's a sport, which promoting sport is, I think, a legitimate role of universities, mm-hmm. whereas the other is a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like games have not been traditionally played for, like, as a job or as a way to make money, so it's kind of weird that it's making that transition.
Yeah. I found out that one of the kids that was mentioned in the article is supposedly 12 years old and in Texas. Yay. Yep.
The greater Austin area, no less.
Yep. That is correct. So, yeah. If he's 12, then like that could, I don't know, 6 years from now, is Fortnite still going to be a thing? When he's graduating, I'm not sure.
People still play fucking Counter-Strike. Like,
that's true. Huh?
Well, I mean, people can play wherever they want. The question is, will anyone care to pay for it?
Yeah.
That's true. So I don't know. We'll see. So yeah,
weird.
Yeah, that's one thing. And I didn't have a whole hell of a lot to say. I was just like, what is this thing? They are hiring tutors. So, guys, if you are really good at Fortnite, you can get a second job real easy. Another thing. I was reading this article on Polygon, and it was a suggestion about the fastest way to get through your backlog. And I already figured this one out.
The fastest way to get games.
Well, no, actually, no, that not that. The best way to get through it is by watching streams and YouTubes. Cole, this is why I watch X-Crank. I don't ever have to play any game that you play.
It's not because I'm entertaining?
It can be both.
No, it's not because you're entertaining, Cole. It's just because I have a backlog.
Okay.
And I have a schedule to take care of. No. I I'm like the first person in there usually.
I only
drop off if I've got something else to do or I fucking fall asleep because I'm exhausted.
Yeah, the game is boring bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, or that too. I mean, like, I don't know. You've had a few whiffs lately that I just have not been hanging out for, but that's okay. You win some, you lose some.
Yep.
And sometimes you get a tutor. Somebody needs a tutor you about. Somebody needs to tutor you about what games to pick for Hexcrank.
I don't know.
See, I was hoping for a streaming tutor.
Yeah, I know. Like, you know,
how to make like the crazy streamer face and get away with being a psychopath.
How to make the perfect thumbnail of you screaming. Yeah.
I don't. Okay, sometimes I do scream. I stream, but it's only because I get extremely animated. Usually I'm very genial when I'm streaming.
Yeah.
So.
No, but
I feel like, I think streaming's interesting. I'd like to try it, but I feel like no one wants to watch me, like, strip an entire, city block dry in Fallout. Like, I feel like just my approach to these games is not conducive to streaming.
Well, see, I kind of think the same thing. Like, I was thinking about streaming me playing Fallout New Vegas, but, like, do you guys really want to see me wander off in 100 million directions and not pay attention whatsoever to any storyline and just go somewhere? Like, I was
in
also
New Vegas,
Ben,
yes.
Well, I was also thinking Ben would have liked me to stream one of the games that I will talk about maybe this week, maybe next week, mm-hmm. That I have played. But it's kind of like the way that I play these things, I think it might just make him mad. Like, as laid back as Ben is, you might get mad, Ben, watching me play.
I'm curious to know which game this is now.
Yeah, well, you can scroll up to my list. You can scroll up to my list.
Yep. All right.
Yeah.
See, I think we just need like the Jala book on tape version of some of these visual novels you've been playing.
Oh man, like, you'll get one of those when I tell you a little bit about, like, Corpse Party is not a visual novel. The second entry was this, I'm on right now.
What type of game is it?
It's an adventure game.
with those the same
inventory
thing?
No, like there's also enemies that chase you, and like it's this one's actually got survival horror mechanics where you have to like hide from stuff and things, like you have to kill some of the ghosts and stuff. So this one is like more of an action adventure type thing. But I'll tell you all about that later. Let's move on to somebody else's brief. Somebody tell us a story about a thing.
I will say, though, before we move off of that, like all of those things, most of those things that you all have said, like, oh, yeah, nobody would want to watch that. Like my streams are not entirely successful, but I said a lot of the same things, you know, like, oh, people would not want to watch the way that I play games. I've been doing it for coming up this fall, like 3 years now.
That's because people hear you talk about them all, about the games all the time, and they want to spend time with you because you're a nice person.
Okay.
And they want to come and see
people
you.
Say nice things about you.
They do. It makes me very uncomfortable.
They all love
you. Have a beautiful voice, too.
Oh, no,
that, too.
Now you're doing violence to me, so.
Well, we already established, what was it, God, 3 years ago when, like, you, like, whoever. Wasn't it Murph that did the poetry replay question and then, like, I swooned?
Yeah.
And then Ben swooned right after me. And we were just like, oh, my God, Cole.
Yeah.
It's also really funny to watch you get frustrated.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of funny when you get frustrated. Although, like, I also feel very bad for you and I want to hand you a drink. Like, oh, dude.
So I feel like semi-related, I think everyone actually got involved with the conversation on the Slack about like plot versus story.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I feel like any of like Murph's like poetry or tweets or anything like that is the ultimate example. Zero plot, tons of story.
So I remember many, many years ago when we did Jackbox over at Dennis's house. I think maybe we streamed it. It was just a goofy fun thing to do. And it was like Quiplash or something. Well, one of those. But Murph used use those limited text inputs to tell just a super dark story. He looks at his family and feels nothing.
He feels nothing.
Yeah, I still think about that a couple of times a week.
Yep, like I said, zero plot. It's a story.
I will do a story. I don't know how much plot it has. So Lords of the Fallen was a game that came out a handful of years ago. We covered it on Bonfire Side Chat because it really is kind of a fast follow to Dark Souls. Didn't really enjoy the game that much, but it had some of its charms. The developer for that just took all of the work that they've been doing on Lords of the Fallen 2 for the past 2 years and threw it out the toilet.
Threw it out the toilet?
Yes, they threw it out the toilet. I don't know.
They didn't throw it in the toilet?
Nope.
If they threw it out of the toilet, then that's even worse.
Yeah.
Because who knows what else is going with that that's flying out of the toilet. No, I'm not down with this, Cole.
Yeah. That's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right?
did they also throw it in the window?
Yes, they. I don't know. I think they
fenestrated it.
Infenestrated?
Yeah. No. So they announced it in 2014, and just like it's been in development hell ever since. I think that it changed studios. They changed studios partway through. Lots of personnel changes. A lot of clashing amid the team. In an interview, they said it's really a reset. It's a fresh start. We're going to deeply focus on the player experience and feel through combat and a number of other areas. So just kind of saying like, yeah, we fucked up. Game's still happening, but I don't know. That's just that's weird.
Huh?
And then, that, you know,
especially
and
surprises, I guess. Because of the way the game kind of was positioned, I assumed it was, you know, some sort of AAA, like, you know, get me some of that Dark Souls money, which I normally wouldn't associate with being a ready to be like, you know, this does not meet my artistic vision, you know, start over, you know.
They had one like Lord of the Fall or Lords of the Fallen 1 definitely had a voice, like it had its own kind of thing. It's just it like I wondered where this game had gone. And apparently it had gone nowhere. And that's kind of the problem. So things are like reset. Who knows if it's even going to be on this generation of hardware. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, any excuse for more Swords likes.
Yeah. Oh, man, I just saw this is not a related story, but kind of is. Humble Monthly just gave out The Surge, so I'm happy that I don't have to wait for that to come out on a sale. I just have that now, so.
I might get Humble Monthly. Oh, yeah. But it's only PC, damn it.
Yes, that's the thing.
They need a console monthly.
They occasionally do some console bundles, like for PS3 and such.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ben, what's going on over Valveway?
I'll talk about that, but I do want to point out that it's nice that the studio that threw away all the work is called Defiant Studios. So, like, it's a fitting name. Yeah, so Valve made some more announcements about Artifact. They announced it's coming to Steam in November, specifically November 28th. This is the card game that's similar to like Hearthstone that they've been talking about for a little while. The art's from the Dota universe. Some other information about it is it's going to cost $20. So it's not going to be a free-to-play type game like Hearthstone where you kind of like buy cards or packs and kind of assemble a deck. Mm-hmm. It's just a fixed cost for the game right now. And they also said that they're going to show it off at PAX West at the end of this month, last week of August, first week of September.
Yeah.
One thing, I guess I didn't realize this, and I guess it's been known, is the game's designed by Richard Garfield, which is the guy who designed the original Magic the Gathering.
And then Hearthstone.
And then he designed one of the latest Magic sets as well. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's just kind of owning that genre, I guess.
Yeah, why not? Just going from town to town.
But yeah,
oh, that is funny.
I think the most interesting part is the fact that it costs like $20 to get. I don't know. I would have guessed that this was going to be like a free to play type game where there's like some sort of grindy mechanic where you can assemble cards or like a way to pay to get cards or something like that. So I don't know if it's better or worse that it's just a fixed price up front.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if they're going to do packs and expansions on top of that, right? Because it kind of seems like current Valve, with the way that they monetize things, they would want to get in on that sweet selling packs action.
Yeah seems to be a pretty profitable model,
so. yeah.
Okay,
I was incorrect. Richard Garfield had nothing to do with Hearthstone. I thought he did. Yeah.
So just Magic and Artifact, yes. Either end of Hearthstone. Yeah.
Yeah. On either side. I don't know. Are you going to hop in on this because of that Garfield heat?
I'll probably wait and see, kind of get reviews of it and maybe look up some videos of people playing it before I jump in on it. Yeah. You know. It's card games are like, it feels very similar to like gambling type thing, like opening up packs of cards. So like, yeah. I'm not eager to jump into a new like addictive type thing. So
yeah, you don't even get like too far into like getting individual packs for Magic. Like most of your Magic events are drafts where you just draw from the same stuff anyway, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Artifact. Man, I wonder, like, does anybody have people must have attachment to the characters and settings and lore of Dota, right?
Yeah, weird. That is something that I am not familiar enough with.
Yeah I knew League of Legends had theoretically apply. I didn't know that Dota did.
They've got characters, they've got their champions or heroes or whatever they call them. Yeah.
Yeah, see, I guess I just assumed it was, you know, like a Doom or something where... you know, all of your characters are just straight generic.
Yeah. Oh, well. And David, what is going on with Metal Gear Solid 5?
Yeah, so about a year ago, there was... well, I guess Metal Gear Solid has kind of a weird multiplayer mode where your home base, you can adjust it with... you know, different types of outfits in terms of like equipment for your guys and you know, traps and things like that.
You're making like you're making a dungeon, like an oil rig dungeon for people to assault.
Right. And then you can in turn assault theirs. Mm-hmm. And you know, normally you play as Snake, you can also play as one of your guys, but about a year ago they added the ability to play as Ocelot, which gives you, other than just him being, you know, really good at certain of the stats, you know, you got access to his revolvers that you could use to make ricochet shots against mm-hmm. enemies.
Yeah, as Ocelot do.
Yeah, as he do, because he is truly a serious soldier and not a cowboy. And so then I believe this week they released a update that now allows you to play as Quiet in your invasions, which seems kind of overpowered.
She kind of exists just to be shots out of nowhere. Like, that's her whole deal. Yeah.
Right. So you can apparently, like, if you stay still for a couple moments, you can enter cloaking mode. And you can also use her dash ability to just, like, close with enemies really, really quickly.
God.
And then get her, you know, sniper rifle. So
that seems like something where they would do like the old Star Wars Battlefront games, where like you had to earn the ability to play a hero unit for like a little bit of amount of time. Like going into an FOB mission as Quiet just seems like it would be a way to run the table.
Yeah, I know. You know, the weaker the enemy the weaker your guy you bring in, the more like points you get.
Okay.
Which is, you know, kind of the point of it. You know, these points eventually, through, you know, dozens of completely unintuitive mechanics, eventually become like in-game swag stuff.
Yeah.
And also with like most of the events, they'll often specifically call out like sending a person that has, you know, at most say like a C rank.
Okay.
And so if you use, you know, Snake or Ocelot or, you know, presumably Quiet, generally since they're very good at, almost everything,
mm-hmm.
They'll then not score very highly.
Right.
So
like a kind of, I mean, like a handicap system.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's, yeah, I mean it's already like a bunch of it just, it gets into super super shenanigans anyways. Like one of the best strategies is just equipping a riot shield and not actually using it, but just have it strapped in to your back so the enemies can't shoot you in the back while you run past. So I mean, it's all already a little questionable, but I mean, you know, other than maybe at Diamond Dog, like Quiet is by far the best thing about Metal Gear Solid 5, so you know, I support this.
Yeah. Well, maybe they made things a little bit harder for her. Like, there's just clothing like laid out around, and then it just, if you run into the clothing and accidentally like maybe put it on, she can't breathe.
It still makes my day, the fact that they actually spent the effort to come up with a reason for her to be almost completely naked.
So dumb.
We had such a talk about that when it first came out. Oh man.
Hey, you know, booby lady got a booby lady.
Well, and you know, the thing is like my stance was, if you have a booby lady, just fucking own that you want a booby lady in your damn game. Like, you know, don't sit here and try to give some BS stupid ass reason for it. This obviously a cover story because you are all up ins and always have a booby lady. You know, like, for real.
See, what bothered me is the fact that apparently she can't wear clothing because she'd suffocate, but like rain is awesome. It's like, wouldn't rain basically be waterboarding?
Yeah.
You always go with the quote sexiest option.
True. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm still holding out hope. I think you legitimately could do a playable diamond dog. Diamond horse might be a little more tough.
Oh, diamond horse or go home.
But I mean, diamond dog can at least knife people, which I mean, that's
he's got that Sith action going. But diamond horse could trample somebody.
Can you?
I don't know. Diamond horse can do whatever he wants.
That's true. I'm still waiting. I still want to see someone, or would love to do a cosplay of diamond horse using the like old stereotypical like 2-person horse costume.
Yep. That would be so inconvenient at a convention, though.
But amazing.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Jala, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
I asked, what is your favorite video game tutorial?
Yeah.
Da-da-da.
Easy enough.
Because I hate video game tutorials with a passion. And I was like, complaining about whatever tutorial I was on at the time in the Slack, and then I was like, somebody should tell me about a good one, because I know there are good ones, and there are ones that I have played, games that I have played that have done this right. So
yeah,
so we're talking about the good, not me bitching.
let's emphasize the positive, starting with Brian, who says, it's old hat by now, but I've always loved the Halo Combat Evolve tutorial. From the suit calibration, getting you used to moving the reticle around, to the Pillar of Autumn introducing you to all of the basic weapons and enemies, there's a beauty and mastery to Bungie's level design displayed from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
It's a good tutorial. I couldn't tell you if that is the first game that did the... You just tell your character to look up and then
look at the lights. Yeah.
Someone later actually at least mentions another game and says it's the first one that used that.
Okay. Okay, good. So we will have the answer. But yeah, I always thought that was just so clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, what does John say?
John says Boletaria 1-1 in Demon Souls.
Yep. That's going to be my answer.
What about it? I don't know anything about it.
So is that?
Yeah.
So Demon Souls has a tutorial level, but it's mostly just a really basic ass dungeon that has the little messages for you to read that are like, hey, press this button to attack, you know, maybe dodge some stuff. It's not very good.
Maybe dodge, press X.
I can't tell you how to live your life. Boletaria 1-1 is kind of the real tutorial, in that it is an exceptionally well-designed level that kind of eases you into the conflict. And it establishes a pattern that most Souls games would pick up. And definitely it follows from a tradition of other games, where it will show you, okay, here is a one enemy. Then it'll escalate to two. Then there are two, but one will surprise you, by bursting out of a crate or something like that. All the way around to, like, later on, they just they add more complications by having enemies attack from above or below, or attack from different ranges and things like that. Ultimately, culminating in the bridge with the red drake that will kill you.
Which is a common returning feature.
Yes. As a way to say, hey, no matter what you do, sometimes stuff is out of your control. You just have to learn and deal with it.
Life is pain.
Yeah, yeah. But it also shows you that certain enemies will do damage to other enemies and things. Like, everything about it seems perfectly tuned to show you exactly the kind of stuff that you're going to deal with at different scales throughout the rest of the game. Boletaria is like masterclass level design.
Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my answer. So we can just knock that one out.
Yay.
David, what does Greg say?
Greg says, so I'd really be surprised if anyone on the level has played it, but there's a Steam game called Through the Ages that is a computer adaptation of a card game. think Civ with some SimCity aspects. I've played through hundreds of tutorials through the years. Going back to PC games in the 80s when it was all in the manual. And the tutorial for this game is the best one I've seen. It's funny, engaging, shows you how to do something, and then later you have to do something based off that knowledge. Because we all know doing is the best way to learn. And all of this in a way that totally breaks the fourth wall. There's not a YouTube video showing the best parts, but this one here shows the first few minutes. Oh, sorry, and he linked a video.
Yeah. I have never heard of this video game before.
No, neither have I.
I'd seen it on Steam, but it's a card game thing. Like I've only played a few card game games, video game adaptations that I've liked. Mm-hmm. So I just haven't, you know, it's not like right on my list of things to try out.
Yeah.
But.
Neat. I don't have anything to add to that. So I will ask you, Jala, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, I really like the introductory missions of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Ben, can you remind me what the introduction missions of San Andreas are?
I cannot remember. Yeah. I know
remember the bike.
I know every like new mechanic's usually added through a mission. So it's like, yeah, to teach you like the gym or something, you go to the gym with a friend, you know, or one mission teaches you how to do a drive-by. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Important life skills.
Well, of course. Yeah. I feel like I should go back and play San Andreas. Like, of those games, that is probably the one that I've played the least.
You can stream it.
I suppose I could.
That'd be a good streaming game.
Yeah, just chilling. Maxing and or relaxing.
Chilling and killing.
Yeah. Jack says, Dark Souls has universally had good initial levels, but I would definitely pick Cemetery of Ash for the Skybox, Eudex Gunder, and excessive gravestone clutter. Add to that the surprise moment post Oseiros later on, and I'm sold.
Yeah. The thing that for some reason, again, perhaps, you know, due to recently partaking of the benefits of San Francisco law, it bothered me the other day, like, unlike Bloodborne, like, Dark Souls, at least theoretically, takes place, like, within a, you know, actually constructed place. So what's the deal with just having, like, 5-story tall gravestones all over the place?
I don't know. I went to Spring Grove Cemetery this weekend because my brother had never seen it. It's the second largest cemetery in America. It's here in Cincinnati, and they've got some crazy shit there too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should also point out that that's where Dennis was married at.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the same place. Beautiful, beautiful place. Yeah. I had fun.
I'm a big fan of weddings at this cemetery. I feel like it sets a really good tone.
I think it's like, was that like a bundling thing for them? It's like, hey, you'll get married here.
I mean,
and then...
it was set at the chapel.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's a really, really nice chapel, but it's the old school where it's a chapel with the cemetery built around it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man, I love that place.
So I like the idea of like taking the most like hardcore existentialist philosopher approach to having a wedding ever.
Yeah. I wanted to show Chris and Emma the inside of that chapel, but they were having an event there, so no dice. Oh, well.
I wanted to show them the experience of being at the wedding too, so we just shut ourselves in the car for like 15 minutes in the 100 degree heat.
Yeah. While we were wearing Chucks. Ben, what does Lindsay say?
Lindsay says, Super Mario Odyssey's tutorial stage is perfect considering how different the game is. And I think someone else mentions that this is a silent tutorial because they don't even tell you it's a tutorial.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good one. I don't have anything more to add. Sorry. The cutting insight that you tune in for. David, what does Eric say?
Eric says, I like the Oblivion tutorial, actually. You get a chance to try everything, and there's some hidden goodies tucked in some corners. Yending is also unintentionally hilarious. I always try to block the assassin with my body, but it never works. Just remember to save before hitting the sewer gate.
Yep, it is good. You have Sir Patrick Stewart just get iced. Iced in front of
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Did you see he's coming back to Star Trek?
I saw that. I'm curious about it. That's probably good. He's getting up there in years. So if you wanted to... If you wanted to another crack at the saddle.
Yeah, I'm just hoping they actually, you know, make a Star Trek show / movie this time. That's my hope.
Was the most recent one not good?
I think Star Trek has to have some of the like humanist philosophy or like pseudo like technobabble, hard science, or you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I think it can't just be like space fantasy to really be Star Trek. In the same reason that I'd argue that as much as I love like Casino Royale and stuff like that, I don't think they are James Bond movies.
Right.
But
I don't know.
That's a whole nother thing.
Yes, it is. Jala, what does Conrad say?
Conrad says, don't know if this counts, but Valve's, when they made games, silent tutorial. The first half of Portal is little tutorials. Lindsay makes a good point. A lot of Mario is silent tutorial, and it's great.
Man, Portal is such a good example. Fuck, I wish I would have said that.
Yeah, I think my two are Portal 2 and Half-Life 2, the gravity gun. Both of those are just so well done.
I also... Portal and Half-Life were going to be mine. I think with Portal, I really like the way they do like introducing GLaDOS's character, and just some of the whole like weird gaslighting stuff they do and stuff like that. I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't come up with any specific things, but I know like if you look at the commentary of Half-Life 2, there's a lot of really neat points where they'll be like, you know, like say a boss that's going to come up like three missions later that like, and you'll notice back here we, you know, you see off in the distance, you know, one of these things being shot down by a such and such in order to, you know, kind of plant the idea just that might be a good approach at some point in the future.
Jesus.
You know, just stuff like that.
Yeah. They actually watch how people play their game and make adjustments for it. It's great.
Imagine that.
It's almost like games can sometimes be art.
Let's see here. Sam says, Dragon Ball Fighter Z, Guilty Gear Xrd, Rev 2, and Mortal Kombat 10 all have excellent single player story modes that encourage you to try out different characters and learn their controls. Also, fighting games have pretty much the most absurd stories in all of gaming because they can get away with it.
Yep. I'm still partial to the Soul Calibur series. Also, the Soul Calibur narrator should have been my answer for the multiplayer about NPC barks a while back.
Yeah. You were going to say something, Joel?
I do not remember.
Oh.
Let us move on.
Okay. let's see. Ben, what does Chris say?
Chris says, this is going to be a big stretch since it's not officially a tutorial mode, but the beginning of Amnesia, The Dark Descent is amazing. It's a good while before you encounter your first monster, but the game doesn't let you know that. You get to learn the control and some of the story in safety while creepy shit happens around you. And then when you finally start encountering monsters, forget everything you know and run into that door instead of opening it.
Yep. That's good. Any of those horror games where they ease you in by making you feel way more in danger than you actually are?
I might be wrong, but I think that Chris was telling me at one point that he stopped playing Amnesia because of that thing that he put at the end there about like forgetting everything that he knows and running into the door instead of opening it, and then he like got killed. And so like he just didn't go back to playing the game because he couldn't get past that part. Yeah. Or didn't want to load it up or whatever after that. So continue.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, it's like you know, Outlast, where they wait till you're a couple missions in before your first dongectomy.
they wait until the expansion for that specifically. Weirdly, they wait for the expansion to threaten you with a reduction.
Mm-hmm.
That was tasteless. But then again, so is that game, so...
So victory.
They waited for number two to attack your number one.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I don't know.
Yeah. David, what does Justin say?
Justin says, this is what I'm thinking of. Says, any tutorial that asks me to look up and uses my input to determine that I want inverted Y camera control is ace in my book. The original Splinter Cell was the first to do it, to my knowledge, but sadly few games have replicated it. So now we have our answers, Splinter Cell.
Well, Splinter Cell, I mean, I hate to while actually him, but Splinter Cell came out in 2002 and Halo came out in 2001, I think.
Well. If you want to get, you know, technical about it.
if you want to apply linear time. Yeah. Who knows? It's still possible that they were drawing from some common antecedent for that, because both of those games came out very close together.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, Halo, I'm pretty sure, was just like, was it Marathon the remake, right?
Yeah, but I don't think Marathon really used looking up and down. I think it was more of a Duke Nukem, Dark Forces kind of thing.
Ah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Jala, what does Juan say?
One says, Portal 2, nothing like being berated with backhanded comments, poorly disguised as encouragement. Makes me feel at home.
Aww. that makes me
sad. When can you come on the podcast?
Oh, yeah. We've talked about Portal plenty. I'll pick up with Austin, who says, Bioshock's opening tutorial part was pretty fun. Nothing like watching your dude grab a random needle and shove it into his arm and get lightning powers. Yeah.
That actually reminds me, Bioshock Infinite has good tutorial areas where they just let you like play around and explore the environment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real good, especially the way that it introduces the wrench specifically.
I do not remember, but I seem to recall, if I did not say it when I was streaming Bioshock, when I was playing it back in the day, I at least thought it, that when he picked up the needle and stuck it in his arm, that's unsanitary. What are you doing? Where do you think that's been? Look at where you are, you know?
I think that's kind of the point.
The point. Ah, ha, ha.
Ah.
Ba-da-pa-tsh.
And then Ben.
One more, guys.
Ben,
one
what
more.
Does Kyle say?
Kyle says, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, the one on the Game Boy Advance, had a very fun first fight. It was a snowball fight between kids that acted as a tutorial before you get warped into the actual Final Fantasy world. Very cool idea, since it was literally low-stakes battle to teach you the basics.
That yeah, sounds like it's actually very fun.
Yeah.
So.
It is, and it makes more sense than, yeah, we're literally playing with live ammo. Because I think Final Fantasy Tactics adds guns.
Yeah, until the point where you go into a fantasy world and then just start, you know, killing random people for sport.
You know, like you do. I'm sure in some way it's defense. Yeah.
I didn't say my answer. I think everybody else said theirs.
Yes, I want to hear yours.
So mine would be like the Morrowind opening, where like basically the guy's asking you about yourself and you're like, and you have to figure out what your character is and set yourself up. And then it's like, okay, now here you are in world. And then you figure it out from there.
Yeah.
Or Among the Sleep, or a Fallout 3, like Per the Image, the little tiny bit of Fallout 3 that I played.
Liam Neeson's.
Well, just because all of those games that I just mentioned have like unintrusive, you know, smooth kind of openings, even though they have like, you know, like Morrowind has a lot of questions, so you end up spending a lot of time making your character in that first part, mm-hmm. but it doesn't feel as, you know, I don't know, tutorial-ish when you first start that game, even when you're doing all of your character setup. But, you know, it just kind of like works because the guy is asking you about yourself because you just showed up on a prisoner ship, you know, like he needs to know who you are. So, yeah. You know, it's whenever a game just starts out in that smooth kind of way without being like hinky and like, here, why don't you press X now? You know, like, that.
Hello,
I hate
Smithers.
That.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I think two honorary follow-ups for me that have a special place in my heart would be the Crouch tutorial. I mentioned this recently, but of the original Borderlands, where they teach you to go under like small or like low obstacles and then never have a low obstacle in the game. And then also, Plant Side 2, where they basically, you get like a really short tutorial video, and then they're like, oh, by the way, you're in a drop pod about to land in the middle of the combat zone. Good luck. And then you just like spawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think on the other side of this is Rockstar with Red Dead Redemption, where they tell you a tutorial on how to do a duel, and then you have to duel, and you have no idea how to do it, and then you die.
Well, they give you a tutorial on how to do a duel, then you don't have a duel for a couple more hours. Like, yeah. Hey, I hope you remember.
Yeah, see, I could never figure out that mechanic for anything except just, like, slaughtering people, which was apparently dishonorable.
Yeah, that'll get you in trouble.
But, I mean, if the dude challenged me to a duel, it's not my fault if he ends up like Sans Head.
Well, thank you, everybody, for participating in this. If you would like to get in on this action, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheLevelPodcast, and look for the questions to go up on Monday afternoons. Thanks to Jala and Dennis.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the things we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, you have been away for a little while, so I will defer to you first.
Sure. So I'll start with the oldest title that I played, which was Corpse Party Blood Drive. I intended to finish this game before I got on the show, but
you seem dead set on doing that.
I am going to finish it. I only have two more chapters. I played a bunch more of the game. I only have two more chapters, but I had to set it down because it's so broken. I am going to finish it, though. I just needed a break. So, I decided, because this game is so terrible, that I don't care if I'm going to give spoilers for this game. It's old anyway, so it's like, what, I don't even know when this was released. But anyway, it's like, what, 10 years old maybe? And also, nobody should play it. So I'm going to tell you why nobody else should play this game. I will do the dirty work for you, and I will tell you what ridiculous things happen. And then I recommend that you play the first game. And if you really, really like it, maybe the second game. The second game's okay. But don't play the third one at all. Don't do it. So, you know how there's a hell dimension in this game? Well, the hell dimension this time happened because Ayumi had the baby teeth of Sachiko, the girl who made the first hell dimension from the first game, had the baby teeth of Sachiko's unborn twin sister in her hand because she went to go investigate the Book of Shadows that she's looking for to resurrect everybody, and then the teeth jumped at her and cut through her flesh and just, like, disappeared into her body. And now Sachiko's unborn twin, who resents all life because she was never born, has made a hell dimension. Before, the plot was, at the end of the first game, the plot was, this world will rebuild itself and create a new Sachiko. And that was like a cool idea of it never ending and always like coming back and rebuilding itself. And, you know, the nightmare continues infinitely, even if these people escaped it or whatever. But now they just threw that all out the window. And now it's some craziness that, what is this?
Yeah.
And then, like, meanwhile, the Book of Shadows that all these people are looking for, like, Ayumi, the main character, is looking for it so she can resurrect all the people who died in the first game, all of her friends. And then there's I mentioned it before. There's other people who want this Book of Shadows from like the Wicca Institute and some weird occult, you know, group called the Martubas. They want it too for unknown reasons. And apparently it's not even in the Hell Dimension, and all these people have gone, like, sure enough, everybody, the whole cast has ended up back in Hell Dimension again, and through one way or another, and it's not there. Like, the book is physically not there.
Okay.
Where it is? Well, the power was inside you all along, Ayumi! Like,
wait, so the teeth are the book itself?
No, the teeth have nothing to do with the book. That's a totally separate plot line.
Okay.
I don't know how, but she got impregnated with the Book of Shadows, and it's in her stomach, and she ends up having to commit seppuku to basically give herself a C-section to give birth to the Book of Shadows, even though there's no explanation for how it got in there in the first place. It happened somewhere.
And let that be a lesson to you.
I don't know. And then after that, Sachiko, the little girl whose upset and hatred and pain caused the Hell Dimension in the first game, ends up, like, she's still floating around somewhere. She ends up possessing Ayumi, and now she's helping her, and then Ayumi starts flying, so she can fly now. And then somebody that we thought was dead comes back in the game just long enough for the villain to summon like a big lip fish demon thing, which like zooms by and eats her head off. And then like her corpse, the rest of her corpse, the headless corpse, falls down a hole in a spiral stairwell, never to be seen again. And meanwhile, the teacher who has taken the role of the first teacher who died in the Hell Dimension in the first game is now saying stuff exactly like the first teacher did, but that doesn't get developed. Like, I haven't seen anything about that be developed as to why this new person is saying the same things that the person who's, you know, like, whole life was erased. Like, I don't know what the connection is there, because they're not developing it.
Yeah.
And then also, it's the end of the world as we know it, because the Hell Dimension is leaking into the real world, and spirits are manifesting, people are going crazy, killing themselves, killing each other. Everybody but Ayumi died, and then Sachiko, the little girl who created the Hell Dimension the first time around, reverses time and lets Ayumi try to save some of her friends, and suddenly we're supposed to feel pity for her as her soul is like breaking apart because she did a good at the end. And she's
She was not just the architect, but the engine for unspeakable horror, for
unspeakable, torturous, terrible horrors of so many different people. And then she's like in Ayumi's arms going, "You shouldn't praise someone like me. I'm a bad girl." And then she fades away and you're supposed to cry at that point. So now, right now, in Chapter 9, I am back in the Hell School. Time has been rewound. It's now Hell School Meatwall version, because now there's flesh, globby, gloopy, whatever, everywhere. Like, all the walls and all of the everything is now skin and stuff, blood. And now I'm trying to save everybody and fight the bad guy who made a fake Book of Shadows by tricking the main character into releasing the Pillars of the Six Demons, which weren't part of the first game, but they apparently kept the Hell Dimension stable. So Ayumi is the reason that Hell is coming to Earth too. So basically everything is Ayumi's fault. The end.
I could have told you she was no good based on the first game too. So,
so yeah, like, I don't know. This game has just gone off in a bunch of different directions, and I don't know what the hell is going on exactly.
Sounds dumb as fuck.
It's fucking, it broke. Guys, like, it broke. I love the first game, but don't play this trash fire. I'm going to play it. I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish it so I can tell you all about what you shouldn't play. But that's what I got to say about that. I was just like, I had to set it down after the whole time. Oh, and then get this. When time gets rewound and the main character is standing in front of the villain again, who's making his villain speech or whatever, right about then, he says, "You smell like your aura looks like the aura of someone who's had time rewound," or something like that. And I'm just like, incredibly fucking specific.
Yeah.
Okay. Why not?
Wait, I mean, you've never seen a time rewound aura? Dude, you can tell from like 20 feet away.
Apparently. Like, oh, of course. You know, it's like, but of course, a sparrow with a machine gun. The only possible answer. Sure. What am I in? The old Batman TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, shark repellent.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, are you implying that there is, in fact, a sparrow with a machine gun? Because that might make me buy this game.
No. No. I would not be surprised if there was a sparrow with a machine gun. But no, that was from the Bat. That was a quote from the Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't have anything else to say about that.
Yeah.
Whenever I play it, I blow up my Twitter with screenshots and commentary. So you can just like wait for that on my Twitter feed.
Yeah, I get taste of this because you talk about it in the chat while I do Hex Crank.
And oh, I do.
Yeah, it's so much more. It's so much more visceral when I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, guys.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad. But like, it's kind of like one of those train wreck things. Like the thing is that. It's not that the game is unplayable. It's just dumb as fuck.
But it's a fucking narrative adventure game, borderline visual novel. Like, if the story is bad, what are you there for?
It's not. They have all the survival mechanics. You have to dodge monsters and do all this other shit in there, too, remember? Like, it's not a visual novel.
I know, but the spirit of what I said remains, which is, like, it is still such
still
a story.
Trying to be narrative.
It is still such a story-forward game, like...
I know.
Yeah, like those mechanics on their own wouldn't be enough.
Okay, let's put it this way. The people must know. There are people who really want to know what the hell happens at the end of this game. And I'm one of those people who kind of, I just want to know what happens, and I don't want to go YouTube it. I want to actually like see it so I can share it in real time and let you guys hear my reactions on the show versus me going and watching a YouTube and saying, guys, I watched a YouTube.
Yeah.
No, I need to play it so I can give you the full experience recap. Yeah. So
do you really believe there's any scenario though where what happens in the ending is like satisfactory?
Oh hell no. I'm gonna be mad as fuck when I finish this game. And the thing is like I'm laughing at it because it's just so bad. It makes my eye water. It's terrible. Yeah. It's great. It's one of those things that is it really is. It's like I just need to have a drink when I play this game, then I'm fine. So anyway, I'll move on. Let's talk about something else and be productive.
Just imagining the pitch with this game, we need to put the party back in Corpse Party.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that I really wish I had somebody next to me so I could be like, dude, what the fuck was that? You know, like I kind of do that anyway when I tweet it out or I like drop it in the level Slack page. And I'm just like, guys, I can't believe this just happened, you know, but anyway. So after that, so I set it down. What do you think I played next? Probably the least likely thing you would think of for me to play. I played Shin Megami Tensei 4. So this is the series of games that the Persona is a spinoff of.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you start out like you're being recruited into this army of techno samurai knights in a medieval-ish kind of kingdom.
Yeah. Dude, they go out of their way so hardcore to pronounce it samurai, which is closer to how it's actually pronounced.
Yeah.
But it's really funny because like every single character makes it a point and they try to say the word samurai as many times as they can.
They get a little bit into the local newscaster kind of thing. We have a tornado. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. So anyway. I actually sunk in like 13 hours on it so far, but it's not as much as I put that much time into it. It's not gripping me with the story or the characters. However, the gameplay is really solid. It's a dungeon crawler. Remember, I wanted a dungeon crawler when I was playing Mind Zero before I set that down.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, I want a dungeon crawler. Well, this is a dungeon crawler, and it has demon fusion mechanics, like how the Persona fusion mechanics worked. So your party is just you plus a bunch of demons that you have fused or made friends with. And, you know, you have no human friends. Actually,
I can relate to that.
You do have human friends, but only one of them joins you at a time as a guest, so you're not actually responsible for them, and you don't have to buy them armor or any of that shit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's cool. And basically, the story of this game, there was an apocalypse in cyberpunk Tokyo, and the church was involved somehow, and then a medieval kingdom with pit boys grew on top of Tokyo, which is now underground, and there are samurai who all have pit boys and burrows, which is your AI, and you make treaties with demons, and then they fight with you through a place called Naraku to go down to Tokyo on the request of the church, because there is a black samurai whose outfit is really, really silly looking. Like, that the helmet is awesome. Like, you just need to Google the black
actual samurai helmets, which weren't ridiculous at all.
Oh, no, you need to look at this one, it's great. But anyway, the black samurai is spreading literature with a capital L that not only enlightens people, but turns them into demons.
Ooh.
So the church tells you that you need to hunt her down, and of course she went to Hell Tokyo, so off you go to Hell Tokyo, and that's, you know, where you have to go from there. Yeah. And I went to Hell Tokyo, but then I lost interest and I dropped off. But guys, let me tell you about some of these demons that I discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Through talking to people in the Slack about it. Like, we were talking about the sexiness of the persona and talking about, like, there was a, I came across one of the first demons that you come across is a demon called Angel, who is an angel who has, like, you know, a blindfold on and a collar with a chain on it and, like, a little bit of clothes to cover the nipples, like pieces of cloth floating around that, and then nothing on her lower half at all. And so we were talking about the sexiness of all of the personas / demons. And, like, I don't particularly care. I think I was, like, very upset in Persona 4 Golden by, like, whichever persona it was that was, like, a horse, anthropomorphized horse who turned his shapely ass to you when he did his spell, and it was just, like, very upsetting to me. But, like, you know, other than that, like, I don't really care. I just think it's funny. Well, I found out that there is literally a dick demon.
Okay.
There is a dick demon, guys, on a chariot.
look at that little guy.
It's a dick demon named Mara. And then also I asked, okay, so is there going to be, like, a vagina demon? Is there a vagina demon or something?
That's a rhetorical question. What?
There's a booby. There's a booby. There's a booby Diana.
Holy shit. Wait, booby Diana? Is that literally meant to be Diana the Huntress?
Yes, it is.
I don't remember her having anything to do with a pretty...
I feel
and look
like
at these, you see the little boobies on her, like, elbows and on her ankle.
Her kneecaps.
She would not be good at running.
The kneecaps. God. I mean, you know, the kneecaps. If you're doing a lot, you know, if you're kneeling, like, to get a good stable shot out of your bow, then yeah, you got,
like,
pads.
Nice and squishy. How wonderful! But, like, the irony. Her actual boobs are covered, but she's got hanging off of every other part.
Yeah,
it's pretty sweet. And it kind of reminds me of the titty monster from Resident Evil 6, Lepotitsa, who's, like, literally, like, its name is Lepotitsa, and it's like a big titty monster. I see
14 visible nipples on this drawing.
So I was just like, okay. And then I looked up, Diana is something that I confused together. I decided that it was my mission to get these terrible, terrible demons.
Right.
If I can survive, like, my goal in this game, because the mechanics are the only thing I'm really excited about in this game.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to, like, hang in there until I can get to, like, level 52 to get Diana. And, like, Mara, the dick demon, I cannot get Mara until I'm level 94.
Okay.
I do not know if I will survive to level 94, like, playing this game. I may be playing this game for the next 2 years to get there, but I need to fuse this very strange, wow.
Mara's got some real vascularity going on, too.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's real.
And also,
it's
he's real. Ribbed for her pleasure. Look at those little striations.
I was like, why is he on a chariot? And then it's just the best
it doesn't
ever.
Have legs.
Yeah, I know it does.
Really disappointed that the black samurai is some random elf chick in, like, a tin can, as opposed to, I was imagining more like Afro Samurai.
Oh, Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, no.
Style.
Yeah.
Like, Samuel L. Jackson handing out literature with a capital L.
That would be pretty great.
And you will know my name is the Lord. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, that's all I have to really say about that. Yeah. If I go back to this, because, you know, like, I need breaks from my JRPGs. I can't just play them solid. I get sick of them and I need a break from them. Yeah. So whenever I pick it back up again, I will continue on in my endeavors to get the booby demon and the dick demon.
I was kind of surprised. I only played the tutorial and then a little bit beyond in SMT4. I was surprised at how action-y it is.
It plays well. Like, I have zero complaints about how it plays. Yeah. And from what I was told in the Slack, like, story-wise, it is not the best of the Personas. However, it has the best ease of use considerations.
Yeah.
Of the other games in the series. And I'm like, well, if I go back and play a different different Shin Megami Tensei game after this, if I were to go back and play one of the older installments, I would probably get real mad and frustrated because I would have already been accustomed to playing 4, you know?
Absolutely.
So, especially like with my tolerance level, like, I don't think that'd work out too well. So, yeah. Unfortunately, this is the entry in the series that I will be playing the end. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, after this, you have, like, if it really gets its teeth into you, unless there's a tooth demon, I'm positive there is.
That's how you get the evil book demon, right? Didn't we learn this?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got the follow-up, right? They've got Apocalypse, so it's not like it's not like you necessarily have to go backwards, right?
Yeah, that's true. I could always go on to the next one. Oh, yeah. Boy.
See, I don't get how you get from this, like, techno samurais from the church, which is apparently, you know, a thing in fantasy Japan, how you get from that to, like, high school students.
I don't know, but, like, I like the overall style of the Persona games a little bit better just because they have more layers of stuff going on for me to play with than, you know, than this game does. And I like this game as a dungeon crawler, and it's scratching that itch for me. So, like, I'm enjoying the gameplay. And the story's, the thing is, the story, I say it's not grabbing me and the characters aren't grabbing me. They're not bad. They're just not like, man, these are the best ever in my life. You know, like, I'm not super excited about them. Like, oh boy, I can't wait to see more about this. You know, like, it's okay. It's cool. I mean, there have been some nice little story beats. Like, there's a part where you end up going back to your hometown and then you have this encounter with somebody that you knew before. And the way that that plays out is really, emotional, even if you don't really have a big investment in your main character or this other guy. Mm-hmm. Like, just the way that it's acted out and the way that it's scripted is very good. Yeah. And so, like, there's little bits like that where it shines and it has moments of really good characterization and, you know, humanity to it, I think is the best way to say it, that, you know, I know I will be sprinkled throughout this game and probably are more, you know, more prevalent in the prior games, which is why the prior games are more highly lauded than this one is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so, like, it's a good enough game. Like, there's nothing wrong with how it's playing or about the story or any of that stuff, but I'm just not, like, worked up about the characters individually. Like, you know how much I got worked up about the characters in Persona, for good or ill. I mean, like, I really, really, really like some of the characters, mm-hmm. and then I got really, really mad at some of them, but that's all in, like, a sliding scale of I had a reaction, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if I don't really have a reaction, then that means it's not really grabbing me, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
To be fair, I feel like, you know, any of these characters, like, of all the booby ladies in games, this is the one I would not want to have grab me.
Yeah. So anyway, there's that I've been playing. Do I have time to say another one, or are we going to save that for next time?
I think you should, because I want to talk about it.
Yeah, we can do a nice little handoff between the two of you.
Okay, well, then I will say that I also, because, you know, like, I got bored of Shin Megami Tensei, so I decided that I was going to play the demo of Octopath Traveler.
Okay.
Because I wanted to know what everybody was bitching about.
Okay.
So I was kind of in and out listening to you guys talk about it before, because I figured I would be looking at this game eventually and wanting to play it, and also I didn't really have a frame of reference before about what you guys were talking about. So, yeah, I started playing the demo. So guess who I'm playing? If you already know, don't say it. Guess who I picked?
I would guess Dancer, just because I feel like that would be among your spirit classes.
Other guesses?
I think I know it from a picture you posted.
Yeah, that's why you can't know. You can't tell.
Yeah, I also.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, fine. I'm playing Therion the Thief. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I was looking at the Huntress Lady. I was looking at the Dancer Lady. And I was looking at the Scholar and at Therion. And I just decided Therion was more my mood at the time. And I really didn't want to play the Dancer, to be honest. I was just kind of like, fuck that. I want to play something with, like, you know, sneaky and things. So
he's a sweet character too.
Yeah, I actually really like his character. So yeah, this game, it has gorgeous lighting, and I like the blurred out edge vignette effects. It kind of lends itself to like a summer daydream sort of aesthetic to it, you know, like it's summertime, it's bright outside, and you're kind of like half in a dream, and then here's Octopath Traveler up in your grill. So I just got to the point where I got my first companion character, and that's where I stopped at when I was done playing at that point. I still have a little bit more time on my demo, so like I'm not super far into the game. But I did want to comment. I really like the super bar system, basically. The thing where you can basically at the end of each round, you have points that you can use. You get like 1 point every round that
BP.
You can... Yeah, your BP.
Bonus
points or break points or I don't know. BP. Anyway, you get BP that you can use, and you have like a bar of 5 of them, and you can chain attacks and do multiple attacks in a row by using your BP. And there's also weakness bonuses and stuff. So every character, you know, that you fight against has different weaknesses, certain amounts of them. You have to uncover them, but once you know them, hooray, you can, you know, fight against them and whatever. You feel like a badass, though, when you hit like a level 4 chain attack and you're hitting the enemy's weakness and then they just like fucking blow up or whatever because you just wrecked their day. So, you know, even from the very beginning of the game, like there are points where you feel like a badass, even just, you know, and you don't fight rats. You just start out doing other shit, which is great. It's not like the stupid level 1 crap that you end up with in a lot of other games. So, yeah. I'm having fun with it so far, but I don't, Ben, what were your complaints? Like, I don't know. Like, I know I haven't gotten very far in it, so I don't know
complaints kind of come up with like when you're like maybe 10 or 20 hours in, where it starts to get kind of grindy, and it also forces you to get all 8 people to like level up unless you want to like grind with 4 people for a long time. So
how does it force you to get 8 people?
So you finish, like, you get 4 people and you do like their level 1 mission, you'll be done with that, and you might be at like level 12, and their level 2 parts will all be like level 20 or something like that. So you can either like walk around and grind for 8 levels, or you can just keep walking in a circle, pick up the other 4 people, and then use that as a way to grind to get up to the level where you need to be for the next ones.
Mm. Well, that's not a problem for me, because I'm not like in these types of games, I'm not objective focused. I just kind of like wander around. So that's perfectly fine for me. I think that would work with my particular style of play, even if it doesn't for you. Yeah. But I don't know. We'll see. Like, I will play up the rest of my time on the demo and then probably set it down because I ain't got the money to buy it. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a while before I can.
Who is your first companion?
The Hunter Lady.
Okay, cool.
My complaint, and I only ever did the demo and a little bit of it, I just found it to be very, very boring. Was my issue with it.
Boring. Who did you play? Like, what was it?
The Dancer. It was just really, it was a lot more talky than I wanted it to be, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And the talky bits didn't really grab me. It's a beautiful game. I just, I don't know. Maybe I wasn't in the right place or the right mood for it, you know?
Well, you already know about, like, when I'm not in the right mood, how I react to games, and I'll just be like, I got to set this down. I'm going to have to come back to this when I'm feeling it. I'm not feeling this kind of vibe right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, but I like the fact that I can steal from almost yes. anybody. It's yeah. pretty great.
It's a really good secondary ability.
Well, and then too, like, I like his character in general. I know that he's like the, you know, kind of like genius kid archetype where he's just like cocky and stuff. But I don't know. I like his character a lot. So,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Ben, so how have you been getting along in Octopath Traveler?
Yeah, that's the only thing I've played this last week, but I was able to play it on the plane. And that was a great experience because it's like, this is saving me from boredom and tedium. So, I think I'm at about, I'm starting to do people's like level 3 quests. I think there's 4 or 5, maybe, I don't know. So that's like at about level 30. It still kind of has the same sorts of problems where it's a little bit grindy. Like right now, the lowest quest that I'm trying to do, like has a boss that's like too high. So I'm like kind of wandering around and trying to grind up so that I can do that mission. I mean, the world's almost fully explored. There's still some ends that I haven't hit yet, though. I think you probably end the game at, like, level 50 or 60. So I'm still probably, like, 3/5 through the game, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It hasn't changed too much since last week. I mean, the like, ultimate abilities of the characters are pretty interesting to see how they interact with one another. I still haven't gotten to the point where I've like secondary class people yet and started upgrading those classes, but that'll probably be like my next step.
Ooh, so the ultimate abilities chain or something?
Yeah, and I think each person can have 2 of them once you level them up enough. It just takes like a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So that is all for you, Ben?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. David, what have you been playing?
Sure. So I've been kind of boring. I've just been continuing on with Fallout 4. It's a little bit growing on me. You know, it still doesn't have as much of the just kind of silliness and stuff like that you know, New Vegas has, but it does get in, you know, some of the mechanics with just emphasizing some of the, like, seediness of the, you know, kind of Fallout world that I really like. You know, a lot more of your characters that at least some form of, like, you know, chem user or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really good. Also, you mentioned didn't play much of it. Did you ever get to meeting Nick Valentine?
No.
Okay, so there is a character in the game that I feel like is basically your ideal companion if you ever play, because he's basically someone who you know, just kind of found themselves in this post-apocalyptic world and decided to become like a 1950s style detective. And is, you know, is full on, you know, just the corny kind of sarcastic dialogue and, you know, stuff like that. And it's also happens to be one of the, you know, more likable characters. Mm-hmm. You know, is one of the more like,
human characters.
Yes, ironically enough. So it's you know, that makes a lot of you know, that just makes a lot of the gameplay. I've other than that, I made it to basically there's a country called city called Good Neighbor. That's it's the, what is it, the megaton to the game's Tenpenny Tower, what, something like that.
Yeah, like not necessarily with 3. Yeah, but just a place that is not necessarily up on comfort. Yeah,
right. And this one is very explicitly. Like, one of the plot lines is that the main city, the mayor, who's kind of suspect at some point, like, pulled a Donald Trump and just kicked out all of the ghouls. So it's you know, very, very much kind of that, the social outcasts. I really love the... There's a enemy in the game that's one of the more powerful random encounters. That's the basically called an Assaultron, which is a pre-war military like assassin robot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of rogue Assaultron that runs the weapon shop in town. And she is a Assaultron that identifies as a human woman.
Okay.
Which is just really entertaining and kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, overall, just you know, it's definitely starting to kind of get its momentum and become a lot better. It a little bit bothers me the they took out the karma system, so you don't have an overall good versus evil. But each of your companions has a opinion of you based on whether they like or dislike certain actions.
Right.
The only thing is, it's, I think, implemented a little too I don't know, directly.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the things, well, for example, most of the good characters are programmed to basically always dislike it if you try to haggle for more reward or demand a reward for a quest.
That makes sense.
Which makes sense when the quest is like, hey, can you save my child?
Yeah.
But doesn't really make sense when it's just like, hey, can you get me 5 beaver pelts for the shop?
Right. Yeah.
Or even instances where, like, you know, there's some of it where, you know, some of them are you know, programmed to dislike conflict or, you know, things like that, like a more aggressive stance.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't necessarily take into account if, you know, like, the morality of the people you're communicating with.
Right. So does it have more to do with kind of the their alignments with the different kind of factions that are around?
That,
like,
can play into it, but a lot of it is much more like specific action. So, like, mm-hmm. All of the characters basically have a stance where they're either like or dislike, you know. Say, like, picking locks that you don't own, you know, hacking, stealing, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And again, that's actually one of the other areas is, for example, Private Eye character is completely fine with you hacking anything.
Okay.
And, you know, actually likes it. But, like, is opposed to you, say, like, picking an owned lock, even if it's straight up the scenario is like we're sneaking into the villain's headquarters.
Oh, geez.
And like, because we're doing a detective mission.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, some things like that where, like, it's not always, doesn't always make sense. But
yeah.
I mean, you know, overall, it gets its point across. Although I did somehow managed to seduce Piper almost entirely off of my lockpicking skills. So,
is that like a dialogue option, or was it just that she is so into picking locks that just your prowess has?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think it's you know, just the dexterity of my fingers, but
Jesus Christ,
I'm sorry, no. No, it's just like she programmed one of the things she likes is picking locks when you pick a lock, and since that's a really common thing you do,
uh-huh.
that ends up becoming the vast majority of your faction for her. Probably the weirdest is there's at least one character that likes you streaking. So if you just go around in public with no clothes, you'll build up for like, you know, liking for you.
That is very weird.
Sure, why not? Hey, don't yuck their yum.
Nope.
Exactly.
It's a very strange thing to have programmed into a video game.
Yes, yeah. This is true.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know that I have any other questions about that. It's good that you're coming around on it. It didn't sound like you were that negative last time either, though.
Well, it was more, I'd say, the storyline kind of, you know, wasn't really grabbing me. And I'll still say, like, I'm still not 100% sold on the settlement feature, although I have done like some building on some of them, and it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see if I eventually end up with I'm slowly building up just an industrial water purification plant, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Huh. Well, is that everything you've been doing?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Okay. Mine should be short. I have not really done much more in Nier Automata just because I have been out of town for part of it and working on personal projects for the other part. However, I have continued my Mega Man X journey. So last time I finished up Mega Man X4, finishing up the Mega Man X collection. Man, Mega Man X4 is a really good game, you guys.
It is. It is. Like, I rather enjoyed that one. As a matter of fact, I liked it so much that after that I went all Reploid crazy, and I made, like, my own Reploid and started drawing her and making, like, a comic for a short while about it.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
Is that one that's not, like, doesn't have a good reputation within the like, fandom as a whole?
It's not that it doesn't. It's just that I played so much of it when I was young, and then, like, never again after that. I think that I just kind of, like, lumped it in with, like, X3 in my mind. As like, oh, like, the series was never good after X2.
Well, like, I think that's kind of what happened. Because I want to say that when you guys were talking about Mega Man X at some point somewhere elsewhere in the network, like, you were kind of like, yeah, this was, like, the only good X game or something. And then, like, I was just like, X4 is really good, guys. Like, wait a minute.
I just hadn't thought about it since then.
Well, unfortunately, X5 is like, here, this is the same game exactly, less inspired, generally speaking, X5 is not really all that great. It's like, it's serviceable, but it's just like more of the same, and they're trying, but they don't get it.
Like,
they don't get it.
X5 is fucking garbage. Oh my God.
It's just not. Like, they do like a couple of things that make the gameplay a little bit easier or more modern, but that's about it. And then like X6 is moderately better than X5. And then like, I just stopped. I played a little bit of X7 at some point, and then I was like, none of this.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know who this other character is. So like, I just stopped after that. So like, really the other collection, I don't know if it's really worth it. I don't know if X8, you know,
my understanding is that X8 is better than X7, but who knows if it's by enough. Like, I'm enthusiastic enough, I was enthusiastic enough after my experience with the first collection that I'm like, fuck it, $20 more, I'll get in, and if the series goes off the rails, I will at least understand why. Mm-hmm. Like, I had never played these, you know, and nominally it's a series that I really enjoy. Man, X5 is just like janky, barely held together, kind of unfinished, unbalanced garbage.
It's really uninspired, and it's really like they're just trying to, I don't know, they're trying to make it harder but also easier than X4, which doesn't make any sense.
Right. X4 is just like just right.
I know. Yeah. And like the balance on it is off, because like they have all these ease of use changes that they make to, you know, just how it plays generally speaking, so that the levels are easier, but then the bosses, like this difficulty spike on that is like, what? you know, yeah. for some of the bosses anyway. Not even all of them, but yeah. some of them.
Like, individual levels are based around kind of like really just kind of hinky gimmicks, and they're also very inconsistently lengthed, you know? Like, you'll get into yeah. one, and it's like, oh, this is just like a couple of screens, and it's just making you deal with, like, a particular kind of gimmicky challenge, as opposed to, like, previous X design, which is, you know, kind of throw in a little bit of everything. Like, they looked at the Jet Stingray level in X4, where you're on the jet cycle or whatever, and thought, yeah, well, why don't we just do all, like, a whole series of that?
Yeah.
Not every level is on those, but, like, every level has a gimmick that is as strongly stated as that. Additionally, somehow they saw fit to add Navi to Mega Man X. Do you remember yeah. that, Jala? Where just yeah. like you'll be running along, and, like, you know, for four games before this and you know, untold number of Mega Man games, well, not untold number, many Mega Man games before this, it kind of just, like, so, you know, you would approach a hazard, you would look at it, make your guess at how to deal with it, and if it failed, you would just try again next time. No, now, just occasionally, as you are doing an action, the game will stop you. You will get a little message from Mission Command saying, oh, watch out. Those little parts of the ceiling with spikes will drop on you. And then yeah. like a couple of steps later, wait, those drop, but you can walk on top of them. Maybe use those to cross a gap.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. For fuck's sake, I know how to play a goddamn Mega Man game. This is the fifth of these.
Yeah, I know. This is the fifth of this particular series. And yeah. this is not, I mean, this is like the 30th installment of the yeah. general Mega Man overall as a franchise. Yeah, I know. It's
ain't my first hoppy robot rodeo.
Right.
Well, and that's kind of why, like I say, I mean, like, they're trying to make it easier, but then they're also not, and it just, I don't know, it's yeah. just weird.
Yeah. Also, the story makes very little sense. Like, the idea, so Sigma is back, and he's bringing down a colony, trying to crash it into Earth because he hates humankind, etc., and on down the line. To deal with this, you're going around trying to gather resources for your, like, Armageddon rescue mission to stop this. Instead of just saying, like, hey, I'm hunting down these Mavericks, these robots who, you know, have gone rogue and are kind of taking over their own particular facility or whatever, like, you fight your way through their little stage, you get to the end, and they're like, hey, I need access to this part of the ocean's hydrogen so we can power the laser cannon that we need to fire, that we need to shoot the colony out of the air. Okay, great. It's like, well, you never really treated me that good before. You came here and asked nicely, but before I figure out if I'm going to trust you, I have to test you in combat. Ha ha, are you strong enough? Like, what the fuck? Why are we talking? Like, just fight. Come. It's really goofy. Really goofy and dumb. Yeah. I'm not a fan of X5 one bit, and I'm kind of curious about how much more off the rails it's going to go.
Oh, no, no, is this your trash fire?
You know, I could fire back and say, Jolly, you're not curious about how Corpse Party blood drive ends. Oh, please.
Yeah, this is your trash fire. Yeah. Okay, go for it. You tell me all about the games that I played 5 and 6. I played X5 and X6 and a little bit of X7. If you get as far as getting into X7, you let me know all about it, okay? Yeah. Otherwise, I'll just be like, I told you. You come back about this next one. So, yeah, like, the thing is that, like, X4 is so much better because it's, you know, the whole discrimination against the Reploids kind of X-Men thing going, yeah, you know, yeah. like they're trying to get their resistance going in whatever. There's yeah. Really it's an X-Men plot, but
it is. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, it started out, we understood what a Maverick was. We understood what it meant for, you know, a Reploid, you know, for these different robots to, you know, to go rogue, to, you know, to go, like, but now just because we're disobeying this one particular order, well, are all of us Mavericks? Like, well, if you're going to call us, if we're going to do the time, you might as well do the crime. So fuck you. We're going to run amok and actually, like, assert ourselves. It is like an X-Men plot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, X4 is really good. Like, nothing is going to reach the level of the original X. I think that is a god tier kind of game. But, like, of the ones I have played, like, X4 is the closest to it.
Except for the voice acting. Oh my god, the voice acting made me laugh so much. It's terrible. I mean, like, I'm sure in Japan it's so much better, but, yeah. like, boy, oh boy. Yeah. And then, like, at the end, like, when you're fighting, what, the colonel guy, like, mm-hmm. I have no choice. Like, anytime anybody says no choice, you know, or anything like that, like, I that mentally is in my head playing every time. And if you guys don't know what the hell I'm talking about, like, try to look for the final boss fight against the colonel and see if you can find the sound bit where he's just like, I have no choice. And it's just... really funny, especially if you've died several times and you keep hearing it. You're just like,
What am I fighting for?
Well, it's kind of like when I played the original Street Fighter, not even Super Street Fighter or 2 or anything like that. Like, where all you could do is play Ryu or Ken, and like you're up against Sagat, and like his moves will kill you in literally one hit, and you just, like, you are trying to do a Hadouken, and they move across the screen so you can finish him off, and then, like, he just kicks you and goes, bah! And you haven't even hit the ground, and he is laughing at your ass. It just, you die so many times because it's so hinky that, like, you know, you're just like, okay, this is too much. And you just, I started laughing at it when he was laughing, and I was just like losing my mind laughing at this game while I failed. I finally eventually beat him, but it was very funny.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah. X4, very good. I think that the hypothesis that I said a little bit tongue in cheek last episode, where it's like, oh, they split these into two collections because they figured they could make more money by not forcing people to buy the back leg of the series. Mm-hmm. Like, the, you know, $20 for Mega Man X1, 2, 3, and 4, like, that is unquestionably a really, really good buy, no matter how you slice it, really. The second you start throwing X5 or X6 into that, I imagine, let alone when they jumped to PS2 and it was, like, universally panned, I couldn't see justifying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's everything. Mega Man X Collection, Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 and 2.
Boy, oh boy. Cole's trash fire.
Yep. How do you all feel about buttoning it up?
I feel buttons.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of The Level. I really appreciate you taking the time. Don't have much in the way of admin, you know, the usual stuff. You've got your Patreon, you have your ratings and reviews and iTunes. Something I haven't talked about a lot is so the podcast app that I use to listen, it's on iOS, is called Overcast. I know a lot of you use it to listen as well. Overcast actually has like a recommendation engine. So if you go in and I believe star certain episodes that you like, that will actually go out and make it easier for other people using Overcast to find the show. So if you go in, it works into the algorithm. I believe it spreads over Twitter as well. So that's another thing you can do that costs you nothing. Otherwise, tell your friends and tune in next week. Is there anything that I'm forgetting?
No.
Okie doke. Well, I have been Cole Ross. You can watch my streams at twitch.tv/duckfeedtv.
I'm David Meinsmith, and unfortunately you cannot currently watch my streams anywhere because I am an enigma.
I am Jala-chan in places and Neon Sky Studio, and now I'm going to be Fireheart Fitness. I'm in various places as various things, but my personal one is usually Jala-chan.
Yeah.
I am in a singular place at Twitch at Merkleby.
Yeah. And stick around for some titles.
Lies and slander. I have no titles for you.
I don't have. I've only got one.
I got two. I neglected to.
Oh my
title
god!
One.
We got nothing this week, dude.
Yeah. We can sneak in whatever we want this week.
What do you have, Ben?
All right, I have Sans Head, which is something David said. Okay. And I have Out the Toilet.
Yes.
I have threw it out the toilet, but out the toilet is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any opposition to out the toilet?
That's a good one. Let's do that.
Okay.
Do a thing.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to go lay down. Honestly, going to play some Mega Man X5.
I want to play a game, but I got to do some fitness programming first. So I got to do that and then do a training and then do a shower and then do an eating. And then after that, I can maybe play a game for a little bit before I go to sleep and then wake up to run track.
Good God. Best of luck.
Good luck with the house stuff, Cole, and good luck with work stuff, Jella and David.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
Take care, everybody. See you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.